Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This program is brought to you by God, maker of heaven and earth and other fine products. Hillary for prison, 2016. Democratic debate this evening. Hillary for prison, 2016. The Republicans in the Senate and the Jeb Bush campaign planted a Republican staffer who's also working on the Jeb Bush campaign to be supposedly just a random gal in a studio asking a question of Donald Trump. It's so interesting. I'm not going to focus on that issue, but look into that, and I think you'll find out that being pro-life to many of our Republican candidates and politicians is just a tactical issue. It's just a way for the folks that you like to win elections. That's it. So they could be pro-life or they could be pro-choice. On demand, whatever the circumstance calls for, exactly like Mitt Romney. My wife Cheryl did the voiceover for the Romney fairy tale campaign that it just stalked Mitt Romney during his presidential aspirations, primaries, election. And so don't be lied to. Don't be lied to. Don't be lied to. Don't be deceived. At Colorado Right to Life's homepage, they have a big graphic of Newsweek's cover story from October 9th, 2015. And so Newsweek is still being published, huh? You know, the DailyBeast.com, that's their online persona. And I thought, a long time ago, I thought that was the carcass of Newsweek, the Daily Beast. I thought that Newsweek was headed the way of the Rocky Mountain News and TV Guide and 1,000 other publications. But they're still hanging on. And so they have this cover story out, God, Guns, and Ganja. And apparently that's slang for marijuana. Colorado is the future of American politics. Boy, that's scary, huh? And at Colorado Right to Life's homepage, they have this large image of the full cover of Newsweek. And then this quote, all right? And in fact, the headline for this page at Colorado Right to Life's website is CRTL in Newsweek's cover story. Any politician willing to kill a single person is disqualified. And so the cover story says, it quotes Colorado Right to Life spokesperson Bob Inyart saying, any politician willing to kill a single person is disqualified, and that is in the context of child killing, abortion. I know that Doug McBurney and I shared that with you a few days ago, and I'd like to share a few more quotes from that issue. But also, while we're talking about Colorado Right to Life, I think you may have heard, you might get a postcard in the mail. Many thousands of families will, that Colorado Right to Life's annual fall event will be on November 7th, and it'll be hosted in Wheat Ridge at Denver Bible Church. So that's at 41st and Independence, right near I-25 and Kipling. I-25 and Kipling, about three blocks from there or so, is 41st and Independence. And that's Denver Bible Church. And this is a pasta banquet and mini film festival. We'll be enjoying three short films, Sing a Little Louder, Crescendo. Have you seen Crescendo? If you have not seen Crescendo, you've got to get to this pasta banquet and film fest for Colorado Right to Life. So Sing a Little Louder. I mean, that's a classic. That's a classic account of what Christians did in churches in Germany as the trains would roll by the church on a Sunday morning, and they're in the service, And they all knew that the trains were packed with Jews who were likely to be slaughtered. I mean, they were brought into the camps, but never brought out of the camps. And the ashes of those slaughtered by the thousands and then cremated, the ashes from the German crematoriums in the camps would then fall over the townspeople. They knew what was going on. Just like, you know, in America here, we know what's going on. Just down the street from your church, there's a child killing center. So we know what's going on. But our dear friend Jason Jones, with Movie to Movement, headquartered in Hollywood, they produced this short film, Sing a Little Louder. So it's a short. And it's a period piece. And it's just stunning in its realism and the skill of filmmaking and the power of the message. So Sing a Little Louder, and then Crescendo. Do I dare even describe Crescendo? If I do, it's hard to describe it without giving it away. So you don't want to, you just don't want to give away the plot, right? So I don't want to have to do a warning. No reveal here. But Crescendo is extraordinary. And then there's also Catch, which is heartwarming. Well, in it, you know, they're just three amazing short films. And so it's on a Saturday, and there's a lunch and a dinner seating. So does that make sense? Two separate seatings, two separate meals, two separate showings. So either 12:30 Saturday afternoon, November 7th, or 6 o'clock in the evening. And so at Denver Bible Church, you know, we have a monthly church work day. And so I happen to pastor Denver Bible Church. And so we offered, instead of Colorado Right to Life members, supporters, you know, going to a typical hotel where the hotel gets a major chunk of the money that people are donating. That's a typical fundraising banquet. Colorado Right to Life, we offered them to use our facility, which is not huge, but so there's two seatings, and that it would be a gift to them, that we're just so honored and thrilled that we could host this event for Colorado Right to Life. So that's coming up, and we mentioned, Doug and I mentioned yesterday, that when there are ministry events, Christian events, for me to decide whether to go, or when Cheryl and I decide we're going to bring our kids to an event, there are multiple layers of motivation. And only one is, what can I get out of it? That's one layer of motivation. I mean, we're busy, right? I mean, Cheryl and I, easily you could look up the word busy in a dictionary and see our family, easily. I mean, we're so busy, it's practically criminal. That's how busy we are. We have three teenage sons who are still at home, and they all three made travel hockey teams. Just ask any hockey mom, what is it like to have one kid on a travel hockey team? And then multiply that by three different teams. And you're talking about tournaments in three different geographical directions simultaneously. I mean, this weekend, I think we have 5, 6, maybe 7 games. And we have a church workday weekend. But actually, it's going to be a Friday and Saturday. And then the next weekend, normally we do that once a month, the next weekend, another church work day to get ready so that we could present as nice a facility as we are able to with our humble resources and our small church. to get it ready for the guest of Colorado Right to Life. And so when Cheryl and I decide whether we're going to go to an event, part of it is, well, how will this, you know, will this help us go into this event? Will it minister to us? Will it encourage us? Will it make us stronger? Help keep our vision on the Lord and on what's important, on our neighbors and on eternity, on the gospel, and on the battle for the innocent, and so on. You know, the Good Samaritan, the priest, and the Levite. If you don't know what a Levite is and you've been a Christian more than 3 years, punish yourself somehow. Find a way. I don't know how. I'm only kidding. Don't punish yourself. Just read the Bible. But a priest and then a Levite were on their way, and they, you know, they had a ministry to do, so they didn't have time for this person who was victimized. They had a ministry. And so your priorities, God is very concerned with our priorities, and part of that is the innocent. So we look at all these issues. Going to this event, taking time out of our busy lives, how will this, you know, will this minister to us? But that's just one level, layer of motivation. Another is those who are also attending. You know, you're going to a Christian event with other people, and there's something about people. You know, people are the most interesting things in the world. What's more interesting than people? People magazine for decades is one of the world's leading magazines. I mean, what do you think? People magazine or Scientific American? Which sells more copies? And so you go to a Bronco game, a Broncos game, and there's, what, 60,000 people there, whatever. Is it at the Mile High? Huh? Oh, Coors Field is baseball. See, if it's not Avalanche, we don't know. If it's not at the Pepsi Center and it's an Avalanche NHL game, we just don't know. It used to be Mile High Stadium. And so if you go to Mile High Stadium, Sports Authority, they changed the name like three times in the last 10 years. And, you know, you just auction it off to the highest bidder. So you go to Mile High Stadium, and there's 60,000 people, and it's encouraging. There's electricity there. It's in the air. It's fun. It's just fun. Back 23 years ago, Bob and Your Live had already been on the air for 2 years. So we made a new opening. You know how we have now Tony Funderburk singing Bob and Your Live? Well, we had for a while, you hear the audio, the crowd cheering at a Broncos game. And then the referee comes on, and the referee says, the game will be delayed for 30 minutes. And the whole crowd starts to boo. And he says, while we all listen to Bob and Yart Live, and they all cheer, they erupt in applause, right? Well, whatever's going on, when you go someplace and it's packed, it's energy, it's excitement, it's interesting, versus where you go something and there's just a handful of people. And so Cheryl and I sometimes will be exhausted beyond measure, and we'll know that dear friends have an event to minister to others, to the innocent, to share the gospel, to help parents learn better how to raise and discipline children. And so we go, and we go cheerfully, and we're glad to go. And we have so many friends who have that, and we try to surround ourselves with people like that who want to build up others and affirm and encourage others. And so Colorado Right to Life is having their annual event. Their annual event, it's every fall. It's normally a banquet at a hotel, the Sheraton or whatever. And, you know, it costs $100 a person, and most of that $100 goes to the hotel. It's crazy, isn't it crazy? And that's done 1,000 times every month all over the country for fundraisers. Keeps the hotels in business, their banquet staff and all. So Colorado Right to Life, being one of the most important ministries in our state here in Colorado, we thought the elders of Denver Bible Church, why don't we offer? We'll see what they think. And they're thrilled, graciously accept. And so now here is this event, November 7th, and you have an opportunity to come to this. And if you're busy, we're all busy, right? But there are two seatings. There's 12:30 and it's 6 p.m. and it's a pasta banquet. And if you're on a diet, low carb, you can't eat pasta, just bring your lunch. That's okay. You could pay the $50 and bring your lunch. If your whole family's on a diet, it's only $125 per family. Pay the $125 and bring your lunch. It's okay. But then we're going to share a meal together, be encouraged to press on in the fight to protect innocent children, and then enjoy this mini film festival, these three short films. Sing a Little Louder, Crescendo, and Catch. Be just really fun. I'm hoping and praying that this event will be a success for Colorado Right to Life. Wouldn't it be awesome if they actually brought in more revenue and got more support than when they have their event at a big, expensive corporate hotel? Wouldn't that just be awesome? Wouldn't it be great if next time we needed three seatings, or on a Friday night and Saturday, four seatings? So back to the Newsweek cover story. So God, guns, and pot, basically. And so in this article, toward the top, I'll read to you from Nina Burleigh. Nina Burleigh is stationed out of their New York City bureau. And one of the things she's devoted her, this is just a bit of a backstory. She asked to interview someone with Colorado Right to Life. They asked me to talk to her. I was honored. And we met in the lobby of the Brown Palace, because when somebody's coming in from out of town and they want to know where to meet, typically we'll say, let's meet at the Brown Palace. Because most people from out of town have never been there, and it's just an awesome location. And you meet and you have a great time. You know, they're always, the people who come in to interview us, they're always child killers, pro-aborts, pro-homosexual, godless evolutionist. They think we're animals. And then they're shocked when kids behave like animals. But anyway, Nina's one of those. And one of the things she committed her career to, of all things, is researching and writing on archaeology, but not just any archaeology, biblical archaeology, to expose that Christian archaeologists are untrustworthy. So don't believe them. So it's just so interesting to me. So I started out our discussion with, I showed her a story from National Geographic about camels and how their headline basically was, "The Bible's wrong again. There were no domestic camels in Abraham's day." And I showed her the evidence they had for that claim. And then that there's been a dozen papers published in peer-reviewed journals for 100 years documenting the historical evidence of the use of camels from centuries before Abraham, even up to 1,000 years before Abraham, human beings had domesticated camels. So I said, Nina, you know, you're right. Look at this. The bias against God causes archaeologists to be so unreasonable and so bigoted that they can't even see straight. And she was somewhat shocked by the evidence National Geographic used, because here was the evidence. And you can find all this at kgov.com/camels. And you find the most astounding photograph ever taken of camels. And we contacted the photographer for National Geographic, and he licensed to us the photograph. So we have it on our website, like National Geographic has it on theirs. And Nina was shocked by their evidence. Here's the evidence in their article. They found camel bones at a campsite that had been buried, and so it was excavated. And this campsite was dated like a century or two after Abraham. So they said, look, we found domesticated camel evidence after Abraham. Therefore, they couldn't have had camels at the time of Abraham. It was insane beyond measure. But when you reject God, you are driven increasingly to absurdity. And so I said, Nina, you know, you're right. Your life's work here on this, it's true. When people are, when they have a bias, they have a very hard time doing their work objectively. Look at this. And she chuckled because she knew I was using her work in exactly 180 degree the opposite way to show that it's the atheist archaeologists who are unreliable. Anyway, in her article, she wrote for Newsweek, Colorado voters have also considered three ballot measures defining life, human life, as beginning at conception with personhood amendments to their state constitution. Bob Enyart, or, in quotes, Pastor Bob. And then for the next four paragraphs, Nina refers to me as Pastor Bob, right? Pastor Bob. Over and over. And they do that because to them, that's a pejorative. That's a way to mock you by saying, Pastor Bob. Nina's not doing this to show respect for a member of the clergy. She's doing this because to her, that's an insult. Because she thinks to have intellectual integrity, you have to reject God. And so if you're a minister of the Lord, then you're a buffoon. And so she says, Bob Enyart, or Pastor Bob, has a radio show out of Denver and is on the board of Colorado Right to Life. Working with Personhood USA, another national anti-abortion organization based in Colorado, and I apologize for my voice, but don't worry, we just have to survive another 3 minutes. Another national anti-abortion organization based in Colorado, Pastor Bob and Colorado Right to Life gathered the signatures to get personhood amendments on Colorado ballots. By the way, 500,000 signatures of registered voters. Voters shot down the proposal 3 times, but on each occasion, it garnered 1 or 2% more support, which Colorado Right to Life regards as a sign of success. So how's that? That would mean by the third time, we had gone up 3%, right? 1 or 2% more each time. We went from 27%, which we got trounced, 3-1 defeat, to a 29% vote, to a 35% vote. So we did better than 3-1. Than, you know, we narrowed the loss from 3-1 to better than 2-1. So cool. All right. So that does encourage us. But anyway, Nina said they garnered, you know, 1 or 2% more each time. Pastor Bob agreed to sit down in the lobby of Denver's Brown Palace Hotel and discuss strategy in an era when a majority of Coloradans support legal abortion. He says his litmus test remains, no matter what polls say, quote, any politician willing to kill a single person is disqualified. And you know, the point of all that is really it's the Republicans, because everybody knows the Democrats, they kill, you know, kids by the millions. That's their public policy position. Just abortion, as much abortion as you could possibly find the funds to pay for. And if you can't find the funds, just put it on the tab, right? They came to Bill Clinton and they said, what do we do with this abortion bill? And he said, just pay it, just pay it. So the article goes on, Pastor Bob and Colorado Right to Life arrange daily protests outside abortion clinics, trying to talk patients out of having the procedure. You know, I told her we had over 1,000 confirmed saves, and she said, oh, I'd like to talk to some of those families. You know, sort of calling our bluff, she would think. And so I gave her the names and phone numbers of families who have children who are scheduled to be killed, butchered at Planned Parenthood. But trying to talk patients out of having the procedure. I don't know if you call it a procedure when it's to kill someone. Is an execution a procedure? Then she makes fun of a man with a long white beard at Planned Parenthood who had a gnome-like whisper saying, don't kill your baby. And that's who, right? You guys know Everett Stadig, the Abraham Lincoln look-alike. One of our heroes here in Colorado, he worked at Mount Rushmore for years as the Abraham Lincoln lookalike. And I don't know, how old is Everett? I mean, he caught a serial rapist who was put on trial and is now dead, thanks to Everett Staden. And how old is Everett? 75? And he doesn't have a loud voice, and he's there because he loves his neighbor. And so, you know, trying to make fun of that. But anyway, Everett will be at Planned Parenthood tomorrow. Hey, God bless you guys.